Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
That you have not given us a spirit of fear, my God. And Father, that you have raised us up for a time such as this to declare your goodness, your greatness, your glory. And that, Father, we will reflect, and imitate you in all our sayings and all our doings, my God. We thank you for that. Because if you're before us, who can be against us, my God? For greater are you that is within us than he that is in the world. And so, Father, we stand up today. And, Father, we worship you and place you in the epicenter. And we give you the place in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Amen. And we thank you, Father, for a spirit of worship in our hearts today. Spirit of worship, Lord God. Spirit of worship, my God. And Father, that you lay a place, a table, a dinner, a party before our very enemies today, Father. Whatever that may be, whether it be relational, financial, health-wise, Father, you lay a table before our enemies today. And truly, we're alive in you. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Morning, Coastal. Morning, those that have joined us live. We are great to be here. Rachel, you going home? Rachel's going back to Canada, home at Thursday. So come and stand down and pray for you. Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
2 years. She got married, ran from home with her hubby, and she's going back. That's because of COVID. She hasn't been able to get back, and Canada's now lifted the curtain for those that have vaccines can go back to see their family. And Rachel, our hearts go with you.
Thank you
for loving me, serving us. She's not going away permanently. She cherishes her kneecaps. She will come back because I have that tow rope on you. So, Father, we send Rachel to be a blessing to her family, to her friends in Canada. We thank you that she would just be the joy of you in their midst, and that, Father, that you would be an encouragement through her because they have gone through it there up north. We really thank you, Father, that you would use Rachel in such a mighty way. And we send her as a missionary from Coastal. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Rachel. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting to be a believer? Whew. It'll be terribly a doubter here, man. You'd be whole lot of fear and trembling. There'll be no good news in your life, and that is not good, not good at all. I'm a little echoey up here, so we may want to just turn me down because I've got this deep voice that echoes through this chamber up here. Hallelujah. Just some useless information for everybody. Just a couple of announcements that I just kind of railroaded Harland and he had it. But men's breakfast is happening. Men, one of the mics will get you with a clipboard. Be warned. But it's good that you joined. Somebody find the cricket noise and send it to cricket heaven. Do whatever you need to do. Sort that cricket out. Somebody's ears. Jerry, is that your ears ringing? Good. It's not you. Okay. Hallelujah. Also, Waves Academy, Christian Academy School is all agreeing to go. Jonathan has jumped through all the hoops, checked all the boxes. And so the school is good to go. We're partnering with Jonathan as they're providing a private school so that students do not have to go through some of the clutter that's going through our public school system. So anybody want to take a walk around somewhere and find whatever that whistle, creaky noises, whatever that is? It's going to drive somebody crazy, not me. But also the Bible schools, the kickoff, August 10th. And so we're doing that, and that's exciting. And Kimmy, our dean, is doing all the things, gathering everything. Coming and going, getting close to it. You know what happens when a cricket, you get close to a cricket and it's quiet. It doesn't make a noise. Hallelujah. Sorry for the people online. We're just dealing with a cricket noise. Hallelujah. Also, financial peace is up, and we don't want you to miss out on that. I tell you what, it carried a lot of people through COVID. They had that emergency fund. They had all that set up. You need tools to get you through this financial. This financial world has got its own challenges and curveballs and traps, and we don't want you to fall into it. We want to be kingdom people that are a blessing, that are a resource to the people around us, and we want you to be above and not beneath and come behind and know good things. So take those dates, Tuesday, 7 p.m., starting September 14th. So clear your calendar, and Joey Covey will be handling that for us, and he does such a great job. And James landed up, and Sabrina landed up here at Coastal because of it. They just arrived from the West Coast. We won't tell you where they arrived from the West Coast, but they arrived to where the sun rises, and found Coastal, and we are the blessed people to have it. Hallelujah. So I'm excited to share the word this morning already. Oh, I really feel that there's all sorts of aspects of this message that will impact you, that will get you. I say some things from the pulpit here, and then I get to talk to somebody, and they said, it's such a great message on this and that. I didn't even have it in my notes. Where did you hear that? It somehow God translates what I say and changes it into something you need for today. So be ready for food. We spoke about last week about your daily bread. We're going to continue with that. But I tell you what, we've got to be those people that know their God and will be strong and be able to resist the enemy. It's coming in all forms, shapes, sizes. Even your closest friends may come with doubt and unbelief, and we need to rise up and say, no, as Jesus said, Peter, after he'd just been congratulated that he was revealed, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, then he turns around and he says, no, Jesus, you can't go to the cross, and then Jesus has to say this, get behind me, Satan. We can be mightily used of God and mightily used of the devil. So, you know, we got to be aware that the enemy will find any vessel to get to you. And we've got to realize that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Get that right in every arena of your life. It's not flesh and blood we're wrestling, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So we want to. And the best weapon we have is obviously prayer. Because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And Jesus wants us to be effective in our prayer. And it comes from a place of being righteous. And that righteousness comes from being in Christ. So I just want to continue today on the series. Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus, teach us to pray. That comes from the line in Luke 11 when Jesus had just been praying. He came back out of prayer. And one of the disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray. And so I've taken it and entitled it, Jesus, Teach Us to Pray. And he proceeds to pray, teach them. It's an outline. It's a pattern. It's a bullet point situation that he has placed before us that we would take and then apply it to our lives. And that's what we've been unpacking these last stuff. So I've done it every Sunday. Why change it today? You say, after me, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, and it's going to be coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Are we all ready to have it up there? Good. Starting with me saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, church, you've got to say it with absolute fervency, with faith. Otherwise, it ain't going to be. It's not dead words that are just not floating to the season. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say just like me. You got to speak with a South African accent, okay? You got to say it just like that. Got to give you a challenge here. But we've been unpacking it, and I hope it's been fruitful in your life. But in summary, I've listed it all together in P's. This has been written as a plural prayer, meaning that we are talking about our family, our lives, our community, our church, our nation, our world. It's that kind of prayer that Jesus has emphasized with the words like Our Father and us and we. It's all those words used. And we are talking about a personal prayer. It's not a prayer to God out there. Tapuri, tapuri, where out there? No, it's our Father in heaven. It's the red phone, hotline, our Father in heaven. Amen? And it's our Father, so it's personal. There is a place we're talking to. There's a realm of the heaven that we're talking to. That's where God, and you're talking about earth. There's these places we're talking about. And there is praise, praise in it. Hallowed be your name. It starts with praise and it ends with praise. And in that, sandwiched in it is petition. And the first petition we looked at is His presence. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, you understand when if Russia suddenly made its presence here, it would have all of its influence, its appetites, its belief, its governance, and its will be imposed. Well, we're asking for the kingdom to come. We're asking for His presence, His power, His will to come into our midst. That's what you're asking for. So it's presence. That's the one petition. Your kingdom come on earth, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're talking about that. The second thing we spoke about is provision. Give us this day our daily bread. I unpacked that for you last week. So here today, I'm going to talk about the petition of pardon and that we bring in prayer. Pardon is what we're going to bring in prayer. And here we see in Matthew, that the verse 12 we read, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. In Luke, it says, yeah, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So there is this aspect of prayer that God, Jesus is saying, is instructing us to bring our sins and the debts that we have incurred in our lives and our shortcomings daily. Come to the Father. Keep a short list on that. What is sin? It's missing the mark in our behavior, in our intentions, in our attitudes, in our disobedience. In those areas, we are clay feet. We have these issues. You switch the lights off, none of you are glowing in the dark. I looked around when we were worshiping, none of you are glowing in the dark. So we all find ourselves in this place where we miss the mark. And Jesus is saying, come daily, because a sin is a luxury you cannot afford. Don't dabble and let it linger in your life. Sin, deal with it. And Jesus is saying, come to the Father and sort it out. It's a luxury. It needs to have a zero bank account in your life, sin. It needs to have that. Be quick to sort out. It's like living in Florida. Man, if I kept leaving these doors open and leave my doors open at home, it's not going to be long before, man, all that heat comes crawling in. There's enough of it around. I was working outside. I was very happy that they invented air conditioning, especially here in Florida. That's what happens. The enemy is seeking a way to sneak in, to come in. And if you allow these sin doors to be open, don't complain. Because I can leave these doors open. I think we did that one day. And it just got hotter and hotter and hotter. And yet the provision, God's provision of air conditioning was still being provided, but we're allowing something that doesn't help the situation. And that's what happens with sin. Sin doesn't allow help the situation and needs to be dealt with. So the word forgive means to release. An important thing that you need to learn for your life as we go through today's lessons. Release the debt, the sin, and the offense. Bring it and ask God, please, can I release this to you and announce it? The word here, the debt word used in this prayer is only used twice. One in Matthew 18 and one now in Matthew 6. I'll unpack the 18 one. It's this debt. It is unpayable. You cannot pay this debt off. If you had 10 lifetimes, you will not be able to pay this debt off. That's the meaning of that debt. It is bankruptcy debt. You cannot sort it out. Forgive us our sins and forgive those who sin against it. But that word debt, forgive us our debt, that is unpayable debt. That's how it's explained. And we need to be aware of that. And some thoughts about forgiveness. So many of us have difficulties receiving forgiveness or releasing forgiveness. because we don't forgive ourselves. Just something about forgiveness. You feel that you need to pay penance or be punished for it, or you just can't be forgiven. But you've got to understand, in the kingdom of God, you're forgiven. And you need to receive the forgiveness. And if you feel that you can earn by doing deeds and good deeds and get forgiven, you are very, very misled. And then, in the same time, then you expect everybody else to work for their forgiveness with you if they've done you wrong. And those things just don't work in the kingdom of God, because we'll realize that the debt cannot be paid. The debt of sin, I cannot pay. You must realize you cannot work for it. You must realize that debt must be something that's pardoned by God's grace, and that it is pardoned when we ask God for forgiveness. The word pardon is a very powerful word, and it happens when there is a debt that cannot be paid. Gregory John Clear, if you're watching in Africa, I'm telling on you today. But he was part of our leadership team back in Cape Town, and he wanted to come to the United States because he had a very good friend musician that wanted him to come here. But when he went to make an application to have a visa to come to America, there is a thing: if you have any criminal record, you need to declare it. Well, he was a real juvenile delinquent. I mean, he had a record from, I think, the age of 12. And so when that came to the surface, he could not travel, he could not apply for any visa, could not. And I was there the day he had sent a letter in a couple of months before, when President Mandela came into power, and asked to be pardoned, forgiven of all those records. And I was in his home the day that he came into the door with his mail, opened up, and he lit up, and he said, "The president has written me a letter and has pardoned me from all my records of wrong, and I am free, as if I've never sinned before, as if I've never had a record before." And it was powerful to see a person being pardoned from the weight and the guilt and the responsibilities of all that he did wrong. And it was wonderful to be able to see that. And Jesus is instructing us. He says, you need to come and keep a short list and make sure you ask for forgiveness. And when you ask for forgiveness, don't just say it like a mantra: forgive us our sins or forgive us our debt. Stop and drill down in that. And God's saying, what do you really want me to forgive you about? Well, how I spoke to my wife, how I handled this driving situation, how I didn't do this or didn't do that. Be specific. It is for your health and well-being that you bring it to the surface. Because when light comes, darkness has no more hold on it. The enemy can't nyanya you in the ear all the time and saying, but you did this. I said, yeah, but I told my dad. My dad has acquitted me. It's okay. Oh, what about this? It's okay. I told my dad. The wonderful thing is when the scripture says confess your sins one to another, it's a wonderful thing, because when the devil comes in, you realize the devil's playing you all at the same game. That's what happens with the enemy. And so that's why it's important that we bring it and make the list. Bring the list. When we say the prayer, say, Father, I've got to talk to you about some things. There's some things I need to ask you to forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done that, and I didn't do that. You need to bring it up. And so God has an accounting system with us. And he adds and he removes things in our accounts. You may not be aware of this, but Romans 4, verse 3, it says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was placed into his account as righteous. It's important that you understand that God places it as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him. Abraham believed God, righteousness was deposited and placed into his account. Today, those who believe in Jesus Christ have righteousness deposited into their life. And sin is removed. The debt of sin is removed from our accounts. He says there's a whole counting thing that's happening here. It's removed. Why? Because we believe. And here it goes on to say here in 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ,
God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer accounting, another counting word, people's sin against them. He had taken the sin deal out because of Christ. The truth is, God has removed all of mankind's debt of sin. It's a hard one for people to believe. They feel like they've got to earn it. But Hebrews says this, Hebrews 9:28. So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. We must note that Abraham, for him to have it deposited into his account, he not only believed, but he had a behavior that followed his belief that caused the account to become righteous. And that's what we've got to understand. We can go and say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible says the devil believes as well. But the devil trembles. There's got to be an action that goes with your believing. You can say, I believe in Jesus all day long. But if your lifestyle and your obedience doesn't follow it, it is have zero effect to your account of righteousness. Very important that you understand that. And guess what the result will be if you just believe, oh yes, I believe in Jesus, believer, and there's no behavioral change, the Bible says you're going to hell. It's startling news. I believe in Jesus, but if you do not move your life into the area of obedience in him, he can clearly say what he said here in Luke. It's Luke 6:46. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't do what I want? Heavy words, but important words for understanding forgiveness in our lives and getting it to work and getting it to understand. So believing must affect our behaving. God has removed sin from all accounts. The word is propitiation. I don't know how you say that word. I thought I'm going to give it three guesses today. But in 1 John 2, verse 2, it says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. What's that word propitiation mean? And I said it, okay, Rod. And I was practicing that word because I get myself so tongue-tied in that word. Means God's wrath, anger, payment for sin was satisfied through Jesus' sacrifice. What we celebrated today. It cleared the deck. Account paid in full for all of mankind's sin. So it's important. So newsflash, people don't go to hell for sin. What do people go to hell for? People go to hell for unbelief. Unbelief. That's a wake-up call. He doesn't say, Scripture doesn't say, he who does not sin has life. It says here, he who believes has life. It's important to understand that it's a believing that gets us to heaven. Not our behaving. It's our believing that affects our behaving. That's why religion will get you to do this, do this, do this. Guys, it's done. That scripture tells us Jesus paid it. It's sorted. It's done. We got to just believe it. And not only believe it, walk in it. And that's when suddenly the effects of forgiveness will start working out in our lives. In John 3:36, it says this. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anybody who believes in Jesus has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remain under God's angry judgment, which is right at the end. Because if you don't understand what Jesus did, embrace it, and walk in it, the result is that you have deceived yourself. So it's important that you see that there is such life in just believing that God has dealt with the sin issue. It's paid in full. It's a done deal. So the next question you may ask is, why confess your sins if they've all been forgiven? All forgiven. You understand Val and I are married. And guess what? There are still things that come up in the 40 years I've married that have caused issues between this relationship. And if I don't deal with this relationship, it will not go well with me. It's like not having an object and I'm trying to be intimate with Val and there's this object between us, this disagreement, all this. I can handle all kinds of things that, man, light's not working, sound not working, everything can go wrong. But I cannot handle this issue being out of sorts. The same thing with the Father. If I have sorts with the Father, if there's things that is disturbing my intimacy with Him, it doesn't go well. That's why Jesus said, I don't want you to have this guilty conscience thing. Come daily, clear the deck and say, Dad, I need to clear the deck. This is so salvation is a relational thing. And so we want to get rid of the disappointments, the hurts, the guilty conscience, all those things. Clear the deck. Daily bring your shortcomings, your failures, your faults, and ask God to forgive them, because he wants you to know that He knows, but we need to just let Him know. I'm sorry, Dad. That was wrong. That's not right. It's just a wonderful way. I want to make sure that Val and I have a clear relationship. I want to make sure as many people as possible with me walk at peace with all men when it's possible with me. And it's important that we understand that. So church, we've got to understand that daily come and say, Dad, man, that was wrong. I can't do that as a believer. I can't do that as a Christian. You confess your sins. But your confessing agrees that God has taken care of it. And He says, it's okay, my boy. I'll empower you to do better. And you bring it. And then also prevents us from the trap of dead works. When we are trying to initiate something that God hasn't asked you to do. Because you're trying to do this works thing. Well, God, you know, I messed up here. So I will give an extra bit of money in the tithes offering. I'll do that, or I'll can help at Yes Coffee. You try and find some way to initiate a works that is dead works. God says, listen, you can't pay for it, you can't sort it out. It's a debt you can't pay. You just need to bring it to me, and the account is cleared. So it's important that you understand that, and so God wants us to make sure that we don't have dead works, and we're trying to appease God with dead works. And bring forgiveness of your sins. It requires His mercy. His mercy is there to deal with it. And God wants us to deal with it. And so the other thing is, He says that God forgets our sins. It throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. But you've got to understand that God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He will always know something. But here in Hebrews, it says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. That's Hebrews 8:12. God chooses not to remember what we've done wrong. And when we bring it to Him, He says, fine, I choose never to remember it again. He chooses not to bring it back to His memory again. He's all-knowing, so there's no ways. You know who also matches all-knowing? Is woman. You go into arm and they can remember stuff in your past and what you did, and they will bring it back to remembrance, and we don't even remember any of it, us guys. So God and the woman, they have a good remembrance system, and they have a good recall system, and they can recall it at a blink of an eye, and I can't even debate that situation. I just run because I cannot beat that one. We've got to understand the enemy's waiting and choosing every opportunity to remind us. And you don't understand. No, I don't have a sad life. I have a great life. I've worked it out. 40 years, I've worked it out. Yeah, hallelujah. So we've got to confess our debts. What's the other point before we close here? Is you've got to release your debtors. Release your debtors. It's so important. Matthew says, freely you receive, freely give. Release, forgive those that have sinned against you. Christ Jesus instructs us to forgive. And again, we need to make a list and say, Father, I bring so-and-so, I bring this situation and that communication, and you bring it and you list it. Just don't say it like I said. Just say it, well, the Lord's Prayer, forgive my debtors. No, list them. Bring them before the Father and say, Father, unforgiveness is a luxury also you cannot afford. And I will tell you, from my mom's life and health. And there's some startling scriptures that you need to read and understand about unforgiveness. So Peter gives it a shot here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. This is the other debt. Only used twice, the unpayable debt. This is it. It's also here, written here. But the first part, I just want to kind of preempt it, is that when then Peter came to him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So Peter was kind of finding out, you know, is it okay? Is it kind of scriptural that I can forgive so much? Or is there a point where I must quit forgiving? And Jesus kind of threw a saying of the day. And it's a saying that came from Genesis chapter 4. You know, we have sayings that never in a month of Sundays. You have all these sayings that we have coming down the line in life, and we just keep moving them down. Well, this saying that Jesus had just quoted to Peter came from Genesis chapter 4. And it's very interesting. And so I want you to look at it. So Peter was thinking it was, okay, I wanted to kind of find the scriptural boundaries of forgiveness. But in Genesis chapter 4, verse 23, it says, then Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah. Adah and Zillah. I mean, what kind of names do you have to give your daughter so that they'd be wives? This is Lamech's wives, Adah and Zillah. Hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Listen to my speech, for I have killed a man who wounded me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. That's where the saying started and started coming down the line. So what does it mean? It says Cain revenged seven times. If you did something to Cain, he'll revenge you seven times. And then Lamech says, I'm going one better than that. I'm going 77-fold. What is it saying there? It's called over-the-top revenge. Over-the-top revenge. Paying back way more than what was dished out. So Jesus is turning this now into a positive about forgiveness. And it says here, and Jesus was saying to Peter, when you forgive, you must be over the top in your forgiveness. You must just 77-fold. Just give it to them. Give the forgiveness. Grace upon grace. That's what God's saying here. That's good news, man. That's the ability God gives you just to be able to forgive. Just be able to forgive. But then goes on and gives a story in Matthew 18, carrying on from what we read earlier about Peter asking about forgiveness. Jesus relates the story about the kingdom, about forgiveness here. And he says here in verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his account up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process of one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife and his children and everything he owned, to pay the debt. That word debt, the impossible debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Even he understood that it was an impossible debt. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave him his debt. But when the man left the king, he went out to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. A denarius was the equivalent to a laborer's full day's wage. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me. I will pay you. I will pay it, he pleaded. But the creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put him in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man who had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you the tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid the entire debt. The prayer is, forgive your debtors. We're the latter part of the story if we don't forgive our debtors. We forgive those that have sinned against us. The scary verse is verse 35. Bit of a wake-up call, this verse 35. That's what my Father, my Heavenly Father, will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and your sisters from your heart. Red writing, Jesus speaking, really sobering. So unforgiveness is a luxury we cannot afford. After we've been forgiven a debt impossible to be paid, we've been forgiven it. Do not let the master and the great judgment day come to us and become angry and said, you will pay for everything because you have not forgiven. It's huge to forgive when we've been forgiven. And I want to just talk to you about my mom. My mom had a real tough life in marriage and home and where we lived. Had polio in her leg when she was 10 years old, dragged her leg around, had something like 13 pregnancies. Nine of us lived. The eldest one only lived to 18 months. Lived and my dad pioneered railroads everywhere else. And at the age of 56, she was crippled with arthritis and could not move. Could not move. And her pastor came and said, Mrs. Palmer, you never talk about your late husband. And my mom said, there's nothing to talk about. She had never spoken to any of us or spoken to anybody about what she went through. But she had a rough deal. She had a hard deal. And then my dad passed away. And she couldn't reconcile this. And so she just had this unforgiveness, this thing just churning in her. And so the pastor spent most of the day just saying, Mrs. Palmer, you've got to talk about it. You've got to bring it to the light. You've got to bring it to the surface. And eventually in the late afternoon, she said, okay. She told him about it and says, you've got to forgive him. She said, I can't. The hurt is so deep, I can't. Anyway, he just allowed the Spirit of God to minister to my mom. And eventually, late in the evening, she said, okay, Pastor, I don't know if I have the ability, but give me the words and I'll pray. And I'll do my best to believe him. And he led her in prayer about forgiving my dad and the life that she had gone through. Understanding that she could not walk around, she was crippled from arthritis. And when she said amen, she got out of that seat and walked around, totally free, totally healed. And that's what unforgiveness will do to you. It will cripple you with bitterness. It's trying to, I tell you what, you get so angry, it's like trying to feeding yourself poison and hoping out of your ass will die. It kills you. And Jesus is teaching us to clear the debt of unforgiveness because we've been forgiven such a great debt. But also it's for your own health and well-being. Hebrews 12:15 says, watch out, no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble and then it would corrupt many. Because have you been around people that are bitter and just angry and miserable? Man, it's not a healthy thing. I tell you what, you've got to clear the debt. You've got to get that. And Jesus has paid such an incredible price for us. I mean, it just reminds me of the story of Barabbas. You know Barabbas, that he was the one that was set free. He wasn't the thief. You know the thieves on the cross? He was a murderer. He could not bring that life back that he had killed, Barabbas. He couldn't. It's a debt that he could not sort out. He was due to have the death penalty. And who took his place? Jesus took his place. They set Barabbas free, and Jesus went to the cross. That's forgiveness on Barabbas. He had a debt he could not pay. That's the same with us. We have a debt we cannot pay. But Jesus has forgiven us. He's cleared the debt. And it's a wonderful thing to understand. So God, in Jesus, understands that we need mercy in our helpless state. And he has pardoned us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Jesus suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that we might bring, that he might bring us to God. Today, if there's any cry in my heart, is that you would just grab the forgiveness of Jesus and allow it to be appropriated to your life. Allow it to be appropriated to your life so that you may go free. Many are not walking in the fullness of God. Why? Because they have this unforgiveness. They have this, and I want to just say, man, if you understand what Jesus did, you've been forgiven a whole bunch. A debt you cannot pay. And why can't we release these other things that we find are our debtors? We want justice. I tell you what, let Jesus sort it out. Just release it for your own health's sake, for your own life's sake, for your own testimony's sake. Release it. Release it. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's pray. Father, it's a sobering thing when we face the importance of releasing our debtors. But it's a glorious thing to know that we've been freed from an unpayable debt. And we want to say thank you today. I know we came around the communion table earlier today and we rejoiced in what your son did at Calvary. But I tell you what, today, Father, we want to be those people that would be definitely released because we have released forgiveness. Church, this message cannot go out there without it landing somewhere. And I feel that there's a lot of things that we need to kind of just bring. And you may need to take this home as well and write that list on things that you need to say, Father, I keep dabbling with this thing, but please forgive me. I keep messing up here. Please forgive me. Why you keep messing around with it and keep hanging on to it because you don't release it and you don't ask for forgiveness. That's why it's got a hold on you. That's why it's got a vice on you. Jesus is saying, listen, this message is for you to get yourself cleared. Sort out the guilty conscience. Sort out. Jesus is coming to the church to clean the house up. He's cleaning the house up. He's cleaning our lives up. He wants a bride. White, forgiven, released. Not dabbling in the mud of sin. He wants us to do business with him. Sort out things that need to be forgiven. He knows about it. Bring it to him. There's nothing you can do to try and sort it out except confess it. Bring it. And allow God to release it in your life. But bring it to the table. And those that you're not forgiving, bring it to the table. You may have to wrestle with it, like my mom had to wrestle. But I tell you what, you're the benefactor if you release it. So Father, I thank you that you empower us. Even in my life, Father, you've turned over things and you revealed my heart in these things. And I've kind of hidden them in corners. But Father, you're telling me to deal with it. And I'm asking that you would help me, empower me, strengthen me, help me. And Father, I'm praying that this family of believers and those that are watching online, that they would deal with unforgiveness, that they would bring and ask for forgiveness and bring it to the table with you, Father. Oh, that we can have a table, that we can come into your presence and speak these things out and bring release, my God. It's for freedom that you set us free, my God. And you paid it all. It's all been paid off. And we thank you for that. For those that have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and has not invited